Now, Mr. Richard Basehart on the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. Bromo Seltzer presents Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tales of suspense, thrills, adventure by Hollywood's finest writers with Hollywood's top stars. Portions of this program are transcribed and is brought to you by Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help which reminds you...
Don't ever let headache interfere!
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Herbert Rawlinson. Welcome to the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. The ringing of a telephone can mean many things, but sometimes its failure to ring can mean even more. This is the story of a telephone whose very silence was a piercing cry of alarm. Listen then as Mr. Richard Basehart portrays for you the taut, tortured role of Mike Boatman in the drama of The Envelope.
Gaining on me. Still gaining on me. Next time I look at my rearview mirror, they'll be close enough to start shooting at my tires. Well, what am I waiting for? Where's the switch to that tape recorder hidden so well under my dashboard? Even I can't find it. Here it is. Now let's see if they can stop me from talking. Yeah. From talking. To whom it may concern, especially District Attorney Walter Drake and the members of the county grand jury, this is Mike Boatman speaking. Michael Thomas Boatman, attorney at law. I, who am about to die, salute you. And that I pray that what I'm about to say will safely reach your hands and ears. You, Mr. D.A., you tried to save me from this, but when you called me this morning at breakfast, you were sounding my death knell.
You finish your coffee, Mike. I'll answer.
No, it's probably for me anyway. Yes?
This is Walter Drake.
Well, what a conscientious public servant starting work this early in the morning.
Mike, I've got to talk to you.
Oh, go on. Talk.
You know what I mean. How about 10 o'clock at the reservoir?
At the reservoir?
Yes.
I can't make it at 10. I got a sack full of habeas corpus writs to take to court this morning. Remember?
Well, then, make it 11.
I'd say 12, Drake. Yeah, that's the earliest
12,
I can...
12, then, but don't fail me, Mike. And watch yourself.
Huh?
Finish your coffee, Mike.
What? Oh, yeah.
What does the district attorney want to talk to you about, Mike?
Oh, he's coming up for re-election soon. He probably wants me to let up, quit making such a monkey out of him.
That wouldn't worry you.
What do you mean, worry me? Say, this coffee's cold.
I'll pour you another cup. Mike, those rumors about calling the grand jury into session. That's why you've been so tense and not...
Tense? Me? Well, really, Jill,
the nerve under your left eye, Mike, it's twitched steadily for 3 days now.
So what? It's my sinuses, that's all. It's the weather.
Mike!
Yes, Jill. It's the talk about the grand jury.
And the district attorney wouldn't be calling you, wouldn't be meeting you secretly if it wasn't more than just talk.
I'm afraid so.
Why afraid, Mike? What have you got to fear from the grand jury?
Nothing from the grand jury.
Then who?
Jill, I've held off telling you this because, well, because I've always known how much you, how very much you've hated my being a criminal lawyer.
Not a criminal lawyer. A mouthpiece.
You think I became one by choice? How many months did I sit in my little cubbyhole of an office staring at my shiny new state bar certificate, waiting for someone to trust me with a real case? Well, what did I get? Collection letters to send out. Nuisance cases that nobody else would handle.
I know, Mike.
And then one day when I was so broke that I was beginning to get collection letters, I defended a fellow who couldn't be choosy about his lawyer because he didn't have a dime. Jerry Soho. And he said he'd make it up to me. Well, he did. Pretty soon I was representing every petty grifter in town. And then... And then I graduated to the big boys and the big fees.
Mike, you know you don't have to justify yourself to me. Only now that you're so well established, why can't you quit being their mouthpiece?
Quit?
What I started to explain, Jill, is that... Well, I know too much. They wouldn't let me quit.
Oh. But if you told the police...
Sure, sure. The police would look out for me the best they could.
The best... Mike?
What?
If the grand jury should meet, should subpoena you.
They wouldn't like that either.
And the grand jury is going to. That's what the district attorney is going to tell you today.
Maybe not. Jill?
Mike, we could leave town. Run away, this very morning, now.
I'm afraid they thought of that and prepared for it. They wouldn't want me to be where they couldn't keep an eye on me.
There must be something we can do. Mike, they can have everything. The house, the bank account, the two cars, if only they'll... Oh, darling, how do nice, normal people ever get mixed?
I know, dear. If only there was... Jill, maybe there is.
Yes, Mike?
Whatever they do, if they do anything, will have to be engineered carefully. None of this mowing a guy down right out in the open.
Yes?
That means it'll take time. Well, not much, but enough, maybe. Enough to head them off, to stop them.
Yes, Mike?
Until this blows over, I'll make it a practice to phone you every half hour. Yes, every half hour.
And if I don't hear from you?
Wait 10 minutes in order to allow for normal delays, but don't jump the gun, Jill. Whatever you do, don't jump the gun. Because if you do... What I mean is, this is sort of a last chance proposition.
After the 10 minutes, then what?
Call the police and tell them I left an envelope for them.
Envelope?
In it will be the information they'll need. I'll get it ready for you now. Oh. There's one thing, though.
Yes?
Under no circumstances must you open the envelope, read what's in it, unless...
But, Mike...
You've got to promise. Otherwise, Jill... You'd know too much.
All right. I promise.
I was delayed in court, and then I had to make my regular call to Jill, so I didn't even get started for my rendezvous with the DA until a few minutes after 12. By the time I'd taken a roundabout route to the reservoir, I was way late.
Another minute, Mike, and I'd have left.
I'm sorry, Drake. You couldn't be helped.
Well, that part of it's all right. It's just that... Well, I was worried about you not getting here, ever.
Yeah? Well, I'm here.
Mike, it's about the grand jury.
When does it convene?
It doesn't.
You're sure about that?
Done everything I can, but I'm up against an influence far bigger than that of the district attorney's office.
Don't worry, you'll be reelected anyway.
You think that's my only motive?
No, you're after the governorship, and you'd get it, too, if you could carry out your crusade.
I don't suppose it ever occurred to you that I might just be trying to do my job, fulfill my oath of
office.
Yeah.
Look, Drake, I'm very much obliged to you for the information, but you could have told me this over the phone. So let's have the rest of it.
Mike, even without the grand jury meeting, you're in trouble.
I am, huh?
Yes. You know too much. They've decided that if you ever make a questionable move, you're to be disposed of.
They told you that, huh?
I got it from what I consider a reliable source.
I'm dying inside.
Well, maybe not. But that nerve under your left eye stopped twitching when I told you the news about the grand jury, and now it's started up again.
It's only my sinus. Look, I've got to go now. Due to make a phone call in a few minutes.
Now, wait. It won't take me long to finish.
It had better not.
Your only chance now, Mike, is to work with me. All I really have to know is one thing. Who is the big wheel? Who runs the syndicate? If I can find that out, Mike...
Well, why don't you just ask your reliable source?
Mike, level with me. You know I'm leveling with you. You know I'll do everything in my power to...
Everything
protect.
In your power just wouldn't be enough.
It might be. Anyway, I'm sure of this. It's your only chance.
You know something, Drake? This state could use a governor like you. But not over my dead body.
Mike!
Got a phone call to make, remember? It was on the dot of the half hour since my last call to Jill that I pulled away in my convertible. Nothing to worry about, though. Using a shortcut to the highway, I was only 3 miles from the filling station. I'd stop there and make the call. I'd be 4, maybe 5 minutes late, that was all. Not late enough for Jill to really start worrying. Sure, there was plenty of time. 10 minutes, I'd told Jill. She wouldn't start worrying this soon. Well, not really worrying. What was it now? A minute and a half. Just a minute and a half and a couple of miles from the filling station. Another 3 minutes, 4 minutes at the most. A blowout. You drive 100,000 miles without anything happening, and then this, at a time like this. All that junk in the luggage compartment. Why didn't I ever unload that stuff? Somewhere under it was the tire jack. Where? Where was that tire jack?
Having trouble, neighbor? I said, what seems to be wrong?
I've got a blowout. Could you drop me off at the junction?
Seems the more they improve them new cars, the more there is to go wrong.
Please, please. Time is terribly important.
Yes, I got the time. Now, let me see. You want to left? Well, why didn't you say so?
I'd certainly appreciate it if you step on it. You see, I've got to make a phone call.
You appreciate it, you say? Well, neighbor, I'm only too happy to give you a lift. I've been stuck on this deserted road myself many a time. With me, though, it's quite
Look,
a game.
Please.
Yes, sir, I probably run out of gas more times than any man in America.
But I didn't run out of gas. I had a blowout.
The game, you see, goes like this. I'm always betting myself I can guess how many miles I get to the gallon. Well, the only way to tell, absolutely I mean, is to run your car until she runs out of gas. Or so close to it that you barely make it into the filling station. Right now I'm gambling and I can make it all the way.
Oh, no.
Yeah, look at that gasoline gauge. Says empty, don't it? Been saying that for 7 miles now, but I'm betting. Well, what do you know? Yeah, I guess it's plumb to the bottom of the tank. And me still a mile and a half from the filling station. That's some joke, huh? I said that's some joke.
So I ran. 4 minutes left. 3 minutes. 2 minutes. 1 minute. It's like one of those dreams in which you run and run and you seem to be standing still. And then I... There! A house just off the road.
For goodness sakes, you'll wake the baby.
Please, please, I've got to use your phone.
Well, I don't...
It's a matter of life and death.
Oh, you don't say.
Your phone. Where's your phone?
Right here, inside the... Oh! Well, you don't have to knock a body down.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to... Is that the right time?
19 minutes off. Said it an hour ago by the radio. Oh, there you see, you woke the baby.
Hello? Hello, Jill?
Oh, Mike. Mike, are you all right?
I am now. I was afraid I'd get a busy signal. Afraid you'd already called the police.
But I did.
Did?
They're on their way over here now to get the envelope.
No, Jill, listen to me. You've got to tear up that envelope and burn it.
But what shall I tell them?
That it disappeared. Yes, tell them it disappeared, that I left town. I will leave town. I'll go fishing at the lake for a few days, so don't worry if you don't hear from me for a few days.
Mike, I hear a siren outside.
Quick, that envelope, destroy it. Jill!
I guess she went to do what you told her to.
Jerry. Jerry Soho.
Yeah. Let's go back and see if your tires changed, Mike. Because then everything will be just perfect for you to take a ride.
Bromo Seltzer, famous for fast, effective headache help, is bringing you Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tonight, starring Mr. Richard Basehart in The Envelope.
Don't ever let headache interfere.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? How do you do? This is your old friend Norman Brokenshire. You know, the 4th of July is just 2 days away. Now, that means there's going to be a lot of excitement and fun for most of you in a couple of days. So don't ever let headache interfere. Keep Bromo Seltzer handy and you're ready for fast, effective, three-way headache help at all times. Now, here's what I mean. When you get a headache, it's usually caused by an upset stomach, too much stomach acidity. This puts your nerves on edge, too. Well, Bromo Seltzer gives you speedy help for the pain of that headache. It soothes your upset stomach by neutralizing the excess stomach acidity, and it quiets your edgy nerves. And Bromo Seltzer is so pleasant to take, so refreshing. For best results, use cold water. Follow the label, avoid excessive use. Bromo-Seltzer is ready to go to work at once. So don't ever let headache interfere. Get Bromo-Seltzer at any drug counter or fountain. Always keep Bromo-Seltzer handy at home and where you work. Next headache you get, take
Bromo-Seltzer, 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 Bromo-Seltzer.
Now, Act Two of The Envelope, starring Mr. Richard Basehart.
Close enough to try to shoot my tires. And it's raining. But I'll have to get on with my story if this tape recording is to serve its purpose. Are you listening, Mr. DA? Are you listening, members of the grand jury? This is still mouthpiece Mike Boatman having his final say. You can imagine how I felt when I saw Jerry Soho standing there. He'd heard me talking to my wife, heard me telling her not to turn over the envelope to the police, to tear it up, to burn it up. It was the worst thing I could have said at the worst possible time.
You see, Mike, we tailed you out to your meeting with the DA, but we didn't want to get too close. Of course, now it don't matter.
Jerry, listen.
What was in the envelope, Mike? Are you going to tell the cops you answered the jackpot question? So they could quit fooling around with the little guys and know who the big guy is?
They'll find out anyway, Jerry. You just can't get away with this.
Oh, Mike. If there's anybody in the world that knows what I can get away with, it's you. Didn't you show me way back when I was just a penny ante grifter?
I wasn't going to double-cross you, Jerry. You you heard me tell my wife the envelope was only intended as a last resort in case you were going...
Well, are, Mike. Yeah, we are. I hate to do it, but like I always told you, if there's anything this business can't use, it's sentiment. There, see, I had Fracture change your tire.
Hiya, Mr. Bowman.
Now, you don't have to be so polite anymore, Fracture. He knows all about what's coming.
Yeah? I didn't think you had it all figured out yet.
All figured out, yeah. He just phoned his wife that he's going up to the lake. Now, can you think of a better place for him to catch something?
Jerry.
Fracture will go with you, Mike, in the convertible. I'll follow in my car. Go on, climbing behind the wheel.
I'm to drive?
Oh, I don't think you'll try anything. Fracture beside you?
Better not, Mr. Boatman. Of course, you know me.
Get him, Fracture. Mike, you take the old road up, huh? And, about those two guns you had stashed away in the car.
You think of everything, don't you?
Oh, if I didn't, they'd long ago have thought of me.
It's when a man really needs a miracle that he believes in the most. But nothing happened. Nothing. By the time I turned into the old road, I knew that nothing would. Unless I made it happen. But what? How? Fracture never took his eye off me or his hand off his gun, and only 28 miles to go. 28 miles to live.
Clouding up.
What?
The sky clouding up.
Oh, shit.
Just my luck.
Your luck?
Probably get soaking wet. Just after getting over a cold.
I'd be glad to give you a rain check.
I bet you would have did. You know, Mr. Boatman, that if it was up to me...
Fracture, I give you my word. Give me a break. You'll never regret it.
I'd never live long enough to regret it.
Look, Fracture, the DA will give you protection. I'll give you money. All the money I've got in the world.
No. Oh, you give a guy a kind word and right away he wants to sell you a bill of goods. Casket included.
Okay. Forget it.
Now, that's where you're wrong. I ain't forgetting. I'm remembering that a guy like you is always liable to try something. And I'll be ready. So, unless you're in a hurry, get it. Thunder. Probably be raining in a few minutes.
Just your luck.
Nobody suffers like me with a cold.
Not that it matters to me, Fracture, but we could convert the convertible.
How do you like that? I clean forgot that you could put up the top. Well, why? Well, what are you waiting for?
I just didn't want you to misunderstand.
Oh, go on, get it, fix it, will you? I can feel a few drops already. But what do you want to do?
Well, in this model, you just press a button, ordinarily.
What do you mean, what ordinarily? What?
It's been sticking lately, so I've had to get back there and give it a tug. I'll stop the car.
No. Jerry might not like that. You keep right on going. I'll give it the tug.
But, Fracture, you just said now that I was the kind of guy that might try something.
Don't worry, I'm keeping an eye on you. It'll only take me a second.
Now!
I'd swerved the car and sent Fracture tumbling into the road. But there he was now, leaning out of Jerry Soho's car, waiting to get within range to shoot at my tires. And I knew that it wouldn't be long, because no matter how fast I could go, Jerry could go faster. Yes, I had to put the tape recorder to work. Fast! Now I've had my say. Now, Mr. DA and members of the grand jury, you know who it is that you have to go after. Who it is that's a local Mr. Crime. Yes, Jerry Soho. Shooting at my tires. The rain's making the road so slippery. Hastily, then, this is Mike Boatman signing off. This can't be death. Or can it? Maybe after you die, it takes a little while for the hurting to stop. What if I'm still alive? Maybe lying in the wreckage of my car. I'll open my eyes and see. Open my... No. They won't open. My arms, legs... They won't move. I must be dead. And yet... I hear something.
Well, look at those tires, Fracture. Not a bullet in them. Nobody could ever prove that this wasn't just an accident. Just a guy going off the road in the rain.
Then why are we waiting around for? Let's go. I want to get into some dry clothes before...
Oh, some things we have to attend to first, Fracture.
And like why?
Boatman didn't think I knew he had a tape recorder built into his convertible. Even knowing me like he did, you see, he underestimated me.
So what about the tape recorder?
Just this?
Okay, what else?
Now, you do the same thing, Fracture. To him.
But the guy's dead. Look at him.
I have been looking at him. Remember that nerve under his left eye?
You mean the twitch?
It's twitching.
No. Still, he'll be dead before they ever find him.
He'll be dead before we ever leave him. Go on, Fracture.
But it don't seem right.
I said go on. Before somebody comes along and interrupts us.
Oh, okay. Jerry.
No.
Look up there in the road.
Cops. Never in my life seen so many cops. Watch what you say, Fracture. Remember, we just now come along and saw the accident. We don't know nothing, understand? They can't prove nothing.
What a time for a man to die. In just a few minutes, a few words. It makes so much difference. If only I could hold on. If only I could cry out and tell them. Tell them.
Look. He's opening his eyes.
Yes.
Jill.
You mustn't, darling. You mustn't try to talk.
But I've got to. In case... Drake. The man you want...
Save your strength, Mike. We know.
You know?
I couldn't bear to have things go on as they were, darling. I did what you told me not to do.
Chill.
I gave the police the envelope.
Dick, that was great. We lived every minute of it with you.
Thanks, Herb. I had to kind of live a minute or two of it myself. But believe me, I wouldn't have stood a chance without Gene Tatum, Eleanor Audley, High Everback, Howard McNear, Ed Max, and Hans Conrad. Thanks, folks.
Thanks again, Dick. In just a moment, I'll tell you about next week's play. Now, here is Norman Brokenshire.
Thank you, Herb. That was an excellent story. Perfectly cast. And to help you neighbors have a perfect holiday Wednesday, I'd like to remind you again, don't ever let headache interfere. Keep Bromo-Seltzer handy, because when you've got Bromo-Seltzer on hand, you're always ready for fast, effective help for a headache these three ways. First, Bromo-Seltzer, with its split-second effervescence, goes right to work helping the pain of that headache. Second, Bromo-Seltzer soothes your upset stomach by neutralizing the excess stomach acidity that usually causes your headache. And third, it quiets those edgy nerves. And you like the pleasant taste of sparkling Bromo-Seltzer. It's actually refreshing. As for speed, well, you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. Compare the speed of Bromo-Seltzer's effervescence with that of any other headache product you've ever tried. So if you're making big plans for the holiday, Wednesday, or any other day for that matter, don't let headache interfere. Always keep Bromo-Seltzer handy. It's on sale at all drugstore counters and fountains. Get a bottle of Bromo-Seltzer tomorrow and...
Don't ever let headache interfere!
Richard Basehart's next 20th Century Fox production will be the exciting and eagerly awaited Decision Before Dawn. Tonight's play was written especially for Mr. Basehart by Maurice Zim, with music composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander. The entire production was under the direction of Jack Johnstone. And now for next week's show. You figure it out. That's right. His name, you figure it out. If you do, you'll be okay. You'll be rich. But if you don't, you'll die. Yes, because he'll see to that himself, even if he is only knee-high to a corpse. And the star of Knee High to a Corpse will be Mickey Rooney. On tonight's program, all characters and incidents were fictitious. Any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Portions of this program were transcribed. And now this is Herbert Rawlinson saying goodnight for all of us here on the Hollywood Star Playhouse. And from Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help in the familiar blue bottle.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.